There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Wednesday. And good to talk to my friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. And the crowd goes wild. Hey, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy. I want to talk about yesterday's city council meeting. I know you've written about that over at 1819. But first, as a new resident down here in South Alabama, are you now getting used to having voter turnout that doesn't even break 10%? Welcome to our world.
Yeah, it is a whole different world because in Jefferson County, I used to have to wait in line for, at least 30 minutes, no matter what the vote was on. And here, I haven't had to wait yet, which I didn't have to go yesterday to vote. That wasn't my district. But, I am shocked at the low voter turnout that we see around here because everybody seems so political and so concerned about issues. And then when it comes down to casting a vote, it's almost like an afterthought.
Yeah. I mean, and it's... people say, well, I'm going to, they'll show up for the general, let other people pick up. But, I mean, that's where the real work gets done in primaries. You know, I mean, if you're a Republican, your choices are going to be, if you want to have any touch to it, any nuance to it, it's done in a primary. Same thing for the Democrats. I mean, the general is, the decisions are already made by party for people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's just how everything works. I mean, you have to be so involved at the local level, at the district level, at the state level. Anytime you have an opportunity to cast a vote, you have to look at that as your duty. You know, it's like you need to do these things. You need to be involved. You need to stay informed. And even when I covered city council meetings years ago, that's all I did was cover city council meetings. And we would have empty council chambers until something happened that made them mad.
Right.
And then at that point, I was like, we've been talking about this for months.
Right.
And you just now come after they approve something. If you would have been involved from the beginning, we would not be here. You know, people in charge don't always know what the people want. You have to be involved. You have to take a part in things.
You know, speaking of city council and that, and, you know, yesterday I thought there was going to be, a bigger turnout. I heard that there were some officers that were standing in the back there. I thought there'd be a bigger turnout, but it sounds like it's maybe next week's meeting that will be for city council, will be more on this, on the report coming from Kenyon Brown about Chief Prine.
Yeah, well, the way it works is they went into an executive session after their work session yesterday. And then they'll probably have another work session next week, and that's when we'll kind of hear more about what we can expect to happen. And so I believe we'll see some police officers there in support of Chief Prine. We'll see, people. Even yesterday there were Black Lives Matter activists there. I mean, they were set up outside of the council chambers, and I talked to them, and I said, why are you here? They're supporting the police chief in this.
Really?
I think they'll probably be there. Yes, they think that what happened to him was a sign of a larger issue that's happening in Mobile, and they wanted the public to know what that was all about. So they believe that Chief Prine has been trying to do his job, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, but he does have a lot of supporters. And at the same time, the mayor, Sandy Stimson, he has to look out for what's best for the city going forward. He has to listen to the people he has entrusted in the experts that he has on his side of what the city needs and what's best for the future. So this is just a very difficult thing. I've never seen anything like this in a city where the public mudslinging is just continuous back and forth. I think there's a lot to look into here. There's a lot to delve into and really look at background on some of the things that have happened to get to the truth. And to be honest, I don't know if we're ever going to get the 100% truth from either side.
And that's what I'm wanting. You know, people were talking about that with me yesterday, and they said, well, you seem to be walking a tight line on this. I said, well, you know, I have relationships with all these people, and what I want is the truth. I want to know what really happened. And there are so many things. You said that accurately, because, you know, yesterday I talked more about the Echo Stop, right, Shot Spotter. And a question I'd asked the mayor, I guess it was off the air after our interview, I said, is the machine working, for lack of a better term, right? Is ShotSpotter, Echo Stop working? In other words, is there a problem with the thing? He said, no, there isn't. It's a problem, and this came out in the reports, a problem with the way it's being implemented by Mobile Police Department, which somebody said, I think Terry yesterday on the text line quite wisely, said it would be the job then, it would be incumbent on whoever brought the technology or put it in, if they're going to say that. You know, because I think Chief Prine's side is saying the thing doesn't work. But if you're going to say the thing works and the people weren't implementing it properly, then you would, there was a lack of training then, right? So you, so that was one part. And then, so I think that's an issue of friction here. And then you talk about some of the other things with Project Thrive and funding on that. You reported on that over at 1819 News. What's the story there? What's the Project Thrive portion of this?
So the Project Thrive Foundation is a city nonprofit. They started it through the police department. And they have, you know, any nonprofit has officers and then you have the directors. Well, when you look at the Secretary of State's website, you can go and search a business entity, which would be any nonprofit has to register as a business entity first. So they have to have their directors on there. And it shows that James Barber is one of them. So that's the chief of staff for the mayor. And then the other one is the former U.S. attorney, Kenyon Brown, who did the review on the police department. And so Chief Prine is saying, look, they have a more personal relationship than, you know, they've worked together a lot more. How can this person that works within this capacity do an objective review on the police department? And so that's something that I looked into on 1819news.com. I'd love for people to go check that out, because we also got a very long statement back from the mayor's office. They've been extremely helpful in anytime I have a question, they are very responsive. And so they explained their part on this. And when it comes to this nonprofit, they said, you know, this was something that we brought our partners together on, the people who know how to address issues within Mobile, and that's the whole purpose of it. And so you can read that statement in that story on 1819news.com. But the other part of that story is that the separation agreement options that Prine was given were released online. And those options are very interesting. And I'll make it short, but there was option one. We can let you go and retire and have money. You can stay on as a consultant until the end of 2025, as long as Stimson remains mayor. We'll give you paid leave and insurance coverage. And we'll leave that little part out in the Kenyon Brown report from the public that looks bad on you, so you'll have your reputation intact when you leave. Or option two, we're going to blast all this information out to everybody. What you said, what he said, you said, that makes you look bad, we'll put that out all over the place. And we have the voter council. And I mean, so there was these two options. That was what Tryon said he was given, and he provided a copy of that. So we have that posted on 1819news.com as well.
Yeah, looking through that, I mean, it brings up a fair question, right? If you're the administration, you say this thing, you know, is going to be bad on you, but we're going to not let this information out to the public and the media. If you sign this thing, that's not transparency, right, in government. I mean, that would be if he would have taken choice A that was laid out there, then if something comes out that's bad, it would have never come out.
Right, and we obviously know which option he took because he...
Sure, but I'm just saying that the offer...
important to be transparent, and that was his side on it is, you know, release whatever the findings are. They're not fair anyways, and he's denied saying what he's accused of saying.
Right.
And officers that know him, that have worked for him for years, say, this doesn't sound like something he would say. Yeah. I mean, it really is hearsay. There's no proof as far as I know. But just like the council, you know, I haven't read the report. Nobody's read the report, except for there has been a preliminary report that's been given to the mayor's office. And I'm sure his administrators have read that. They're not commenting on that yet until the public report is finished. And then there will also be an internal report that will include more details. But that will stay internal, and that will have names of whistleblowers, the people who said that Chief Pryon said this. That will not be made public.
Erica, people want to read more, of course, about this, and yeah, some in-depth reading on this. Go to 1819news.com. If they want to reach out to you, story ideas, comments, or whatever, how do they find you online?
Yeah, please email news@1819news.com, and you can also just go to 1819news.com and click on my story, and you can see my personal email address there. It's erica.thomas@1819news.com.
Good stuff. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye. Right,
bye. There she goes, Erica Thomas, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 123 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. Celebrating what is 16 years plus doing it along Mobile and Baldwin County, getting rid of junk. Because I know it's 16 plus because we're coming up on our 15th birthday with this radio station that's coming up the 1st of May. So not far from now. And Trey was doing it even before that. So a friend of mine, he gets rid of junk from your house, from storage units, from around the house, from your business. Anywhere you got junk, you need to get it gone. You've been looking at it going, you know, I'm going to get around to doing that. Oh, gosh, I'll do it next week. Hey, do it this week or do it next week, but do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can make that appointment by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or you can pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And they'll find a day that works for you, a time that works for you. They come out, you show them the junk you want gone. They quote you a price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work right then and get it gone. So check them out online and on the telephone. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, to the text line here. Let me get a few of these in. Okay, Joshua said, is ShotSpotter still being considered racist, or has that been dropped? I don't know. I don't know if that's the angle on it or whatever. I'm just interested. You know, call me silly. I would just like to know, does the thing work? Okay, does it work? Does it help? I think I talked about this yesterday or day before on the show. If you've worked somewhere before where there's a new thing that gets brought in, new technology, a new way of doing things, and sometimes those things are helpful. But I know I've been at radio companies in the past before this one, and they bring in some new thing, whatever. The consultants would come in. Here are the consultants. They fly in. They're staying for the week. They're going to tell you how it's done in Denver or how it's done in Nashville. Or say, yeah, well, this is Scott. Scott's real good at it. So he comes in. Now, the boss has spent the money on the technology. So you go to the training, and you there's a little bit of expectation you're going to celebrate this product, right? And none of us like change. And I would often check myself and say, am I just being resistant to change, or is this thing good or bad? In some cases, the new technology was good. And some technology that we were presented with was not. It was actually not worth doing. But you had to, for some period of time, like play the company line and say, yeah, we're working on it. It's good, you know, boss. It's really, we're trying. And then it turns out it didn't. So I don't know if Echo Stop and Shot Spotter are that way or not. I don't know. I mean, because I never used them. But is it just something that's not worth spending the money on, but, you know, the bosses have spent the money on, so they want you to say it's great? Or is the bosses saying this, that the technology is great, but Mobile Police Department wasn't implementing the information from it, using it properly, which, like Terry said yesterday on the text line, I thought was well thought out. Then you got a training problem, right? If you have this and they say, well, they weren't using it properly, well, then you go back and trainers come back in and, here's how you do it. You do this, that, and the other. James, a sad troll, he said, you got to love how Republicans just shot down SB 14 to make body cam available to the public. As expected, Republicans are right on cue with a do-nothing political party. I'll put you down as undecided, James. Tuskers, what's up, Tuskers? Said a poll worker here had at least 10 voters tell me they didn't know it was voting day. I guess they figured it out when they showed up there. Told me that they're sick of the news and don't watch. That's a huge problem more these days. So, but I mean, by the way, I don't know what district I'm in thing too. It's a pain in the behind and all that and all the redrawing, but you should know by now. And I know that's not what you're saying, Tuskers. You're saying they didn't know it was runoff, primary runoff day for AL2, but people are still telling me, like, I just have no idea what district I'm in. Dude, you can find, you can get a live feed of video from Mars online. You can find the rarest collectible Beanie Baby, whatever. I mean, this internet stuff is really catching on. I mean, if you still don't, then Google it. There's the Secretary of State's website. We've posted that up many times. I don't like the redrawn AL2, but it is the law of the land now. So you should be able to plug in and see if, do you know your address? If you know your address, you're on the road to finding out what district you vote in. Jerry says ShotSpotter works great. It shows the police exactly where they need to show up with the chalk and the little orange cones after somebody gets shot and killed. Is that the implementation of it? I'm not sure on that. But, I mean, it's a fair question. I mean, I know there's so much more politics and everything around this, but at the basis of at least this part, you have like a couple different discussions going on with this, between Chief Pine and the administration. But let's just stick with the ShotSpotter one. Couldn't we, if we were going to audit something, does the dang thing work as advertised, right? Is it, and then what you do with that information, has that been laid out clearly that, okay, you get this thing and then you go do this thing and then do this thing? I mean, maybe it sounds simplistic when I'm asking, but I think it's fair to ask. If we're having this big of an issue in our city about this, then does the thing work? And then what are you supposed to do when you get the information? Did they do that? There you go. Oh, by the way, too, just as your story, I don't want to let go here. I just got a minute before the news. If something comes careening through your roof of your house and you pick it up and you go, what the heck is that? It may be pieces of the space station. The object that hit a Florida home in March was part of debris released from the International Space Station 3 years ago. According to NASA, they've fessed up now. Homeowner Alejandro Otero recently told WINK that he was on vacation when his son told him what had happened to their house in Naples. I'm sure the dad said, you were partying. But Otero came home early to check on the house, finding the object had ripped through his ceiling and torn up his flooring. NASA said it was a hand-sized chunk of metal that came from a pallet of nickel hydride batteries jettisoned from the ISS in March of 2021. We didn't have enough to worry about. It's space junk falling to Earth as well. Right. Patrick Jump joins us when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, onward and upward and we go. 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. My man Patrick Jump's going to join us in a second. Anna is at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And I like this because this is a favorite gift of mine. And you're talking about it for Mother's Day. I have given these gifts before. What are we talking about, Anna?
Well, for the open mail knives, right now, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. So this is a great idea for a mother that's a gardener or a good cook. You know, most of our mothers know how to cook good. So there's actually kitchen knives and utensils, because the open mail knives is not just the outdoor knife or pocket knife you can carry. There's actual sets that, you know, anybody can use for gardening, cooking, and there's individual, like even peelers or even kits, because we actually had some sets that had a child set so they wouldn't chop off their fingers.
Yeah, that's I've seen those as well. But, I mean, Anna, this is... I talked about it over the years, and I'm a fan of open-end knives. And, yes, the outdoor knives I love. But these kits are great. When y'all come in, you get one for mom, buy a couple of them, because this is one of my go-tos. I keep them. And then when you get the, oh, heck, we got to go to a party, you know, something like that, and I, you know, you find out like an hour beforehand. These are just great gifts. The like you said, the gardening set or the kitchen set. There's like a picnic set I bought from y'all that has its own little cutting board and everything that goes with it. I mean, that's been a – people love that gift as well.
Yes, the Nomad set, yes. And we do have a picnic set as well. And like you said, it's something you can keep in your car, just stick a bow on it. It might not even need a bow. Like the gardening set, it actually comes in like a wooden box with a clear sliding thing. So it already has like a good display gift box so you can give it to somebody.
It only took me decades to learn to stockpile some gift items, but I learned it over the past couple, and it's been a good thing. All right, people are going to come in and check out great gift items for mom, like Opinel's. How do they find you?
We're at 2204 Government Street at Midtown Mobile, and we're just a block old from Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
All right, Anna, thank you. We'll check back with you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. There she goes. Anna, back to check out the Open L Knives at Mobile Bay Coin and Coins and Fine Jewelry. And we say hello to Patrick Jump from Warrior Legacy Ranch. Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Good. Get you closer to that mic. There you go. You and I got to hang out some. We were on the battleship last time, and you were talking to, and I don't want to encourage, you know, the whole cadre of Marines here, but, you know, an older Patrick, a Marine, a younger Marine than Tom Claxton. Don't get on me, Tom, but you were on Scuttlebutt Radio Network, and listened to you when you talked with Dan and Dalton. Super interested about what you're doing here. First of all, you know, it's like every veteran in my world and family I know continues to give back. I mean, y'all gave in service, and then when you're out of the service, you like y'all can't help it, I guess. You continue to give back. So thank you for doing that for your fellow veterans and all of us who love y'all. So thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting that I think that you build this huge connection with the people that you serve with, and then there's the feeling of like, hey, how can I continue to help people out? And especially with this generation, I feel like in the post 9/11 veteran world, most of us were raised by veterans that came home from a war that they weren't supported or didn't feel like they were supported. So we always want to make sure that we continue to support each other the best we can. So I think that's why there's so many veteran nonprofits out there now that weren't.
Yeah, we didn't have. Growing up, we didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, I also think the survivability. You know, this is the first major. You know, we had 20 years of war, but it's the first time that, as many people as we lost, we're losing more people at home than we ever lost overseas for the first time, and we're just tired of seeing our brothers get hurt.
Yeah.
So
that continues, and whatever number, you know, they'll roll out 22 a day, but I think that number's way higher than folks I talk to.
Yeah.
That, I mean, this is
absolutely. I think that number's higher because, you know, we don't talk about the single car accidents or it's actually 24, so it's the third anniversary of a gentleman by the name of Gary Miles. He took too much of his heart medication and passed away. Now it's not listed as a suicide. I don't know if it is, but you know, according to his sister, he wasn't in a really great state of mind at the time.
So you get the people that are not veterans too that say, I want to help, right? I want to help. And then it's this desire, but you have to be able to channel it. You have to be able to give it, you know, just wanting to help is one thing. I think there's a lot of ears out there and eyes looking for something specific that speaks to them to help.
Sure.
You know, where to direct that energy to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of organizations besides just mine. We're not at a point right now. I wish we were. We're not at a point right now where we could, like, take volunteers to allow us to help.
But people want to know where to give to as well, because you're inundated. Because, like you said, there are so many different groups, which I'm involved deeply with another group and believe in all these different groups. But people get sometimes overwhelmed, right? I want to give, but this one's, I saw this one on TV and I heard Sean talk about this one and I saw a sign for this one. You know, being able to do things locally that have a broader impact, I think is important.
Yeah. And so I would love to be able to tell everybody, like, hey, you know, donate to Warrior Legacy Ranch. Mm-hmm. You can do it on our website. You can buy a brick for a family member. That we have multiple ways. But I think it's more important than that, that you look at what the organization is doing. I spent the entire morning at the opening of Vets Recover.
Yeah, John Kilpatrick and them. Yeah, yeah.
And John. New facility. I got to meet John Kilpatrick briefly. He's so busy today that I didn't even want to, like, try to take away from it. But, you know, they have a really good mission. So I think you have to look at what matters to you and then what the organization does, but also look at how the organization's set up. You know, if you want to feel like every single dollar you give is going to the mission, then find an organization that's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't care if your money's being used to pay salaries, I would say look at smaller nonprofits, because they're the ones that need the most help. Smaller nonprofits like Vets Recover, like myself, I met a bunch of them today. They're the ones that need help. The bigger nonprofits that are out there, they have, you know, they're employing people that experts in writing grants,
right? Right.
Experts at reaching out to the big donors. They employ people that do that, or they employ marketing firms that help get their message out. Yeah. So if you really want to feel like every dollar you give is making an impact, then aim for the smaller organizations.
And a place that you can look at right here at home. And I want to talk about this. We said Warrior Legacy Ranch. What is it and what prompted you to do this? I think this is a real compelling story.
Yeah. So I served with 1st Battalion, 6th Marines in 2002 through 2006. In 2004, we deployed to Afghanistan and had what an Army, you know, as a Marine, to hear an Army general say it's the most successful mission of Operation Enduring Freedom. That was Army General Eric Olson said that. It's the most successful operation in Afghanistan. 1,800 Marines go over, 1,799 came back. We lost one guy the whole time we were there. And it took a long time. In 2005, we redeployed to Fallujah, Iraq. And in Iraq, we lost our corpsman. And so there was a 5-year reunion that was like a real small group of people that went out to Oregon to where he was buried. And then in 2020, it was supposed to be our 15-year reunion. We were all going to get together, but then COVID happened. So we moved to 2021. We rented a house in Virginia Beach. Everybody flies into Virginia Beach. $1,500 a night for this Airbnb.
Wow.
You know, we had guys sleeping on air mattresses on the floor. And we realized the impact that it had in just our mental health and what it would do for other veterans as well. And I was like, so how do we make this happen? And so a group of us formed a board and we created our nonprofit. And then my wife and I traveled the country through 39 states trying to find the best place to put it. And the best place in our mind for what we were trying to accomplish was in Baldwin County, Alabama. And close proximity to three airports, right? Because you have Blakely Field, Mobile Regional, and Pensacola. So it's easily accessible. Plus, there's a lot of stuff to do. I mean, you can go down on Orange Beach at Gulf Shores. You can go fishing, spend some time at the beach. So there's a lot of opportunities, things that people look for. And the only thing we're trying to take out of the equation is that $1,500 a night Airbnb charge.
Yeah, and this is this ranch, this place for veterans to come. And I think about it. I mean, the people that didn't even serve, the joy they get from getting a bunch of old buddies together, right? Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how magnified it is for people who serve like you together to do that and to have a place that it's there. I mean, you show up with your bags and you got a place to stay. There's a bed there. There's a, you know, yeah, we're all going to be there the week of whatever, and you get your group together and go.
Yeah. And that's what it is. Like, so I was trying to explain this to somebody. There's no agenda to it. The healing properties of it happen naturally because we share our military experiences. That's what we all have in common. So when you get back together, that's what you talk about. Same way if you go back to a high school reunion, you talk about high school. But the one thing that's different is the veterans, while they were in service, they may have never gotten the closure from some of the issues that they experienced. And this reunion gives them that ability. It also gives them a place where they can act like themselves and be themselves and use the language that they want to use. That
Marines? May not be a, Marines, really?
Yeah.
I've heard some
and use the language that they want to use and not have to worry about like offending anybody with dark humor or anything like that while they're around.
What is, and delving into that, I mean, and y'all, you can go online. The website is
warriorlegacyranch.org.
Get more information and donations there. But I want to ask you this, Patrick, as we're sitting together, I try to ask and learn. When y'all get together, how much of it in the conversation when you first get there is how the kids, how the wife, what you doing? I saw a picture on Facebook, you did such and such. How much of that is it before you get into resolving things or remember then or remember this person?
So I think before you even say hi or get a chance to introduce your family, it's like there's hugs.
Yeah.
And I mean like deep hugs of like you would give a family member mm-hmm. that you haven't seen for a long time. And then there's the jokes, and then there's the introduction, and then there's like a few more jokes. And through those jokes start to begin that process. And I would say by, you know, if everybody arrives at noon, you know, that's like normal check-in mm-hmm. time for a hotel. If everybody arrives around noon, it's probably like 3 or 4 o'clock before like some of those conversations start happening. And then those conversations might go into 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Because you haven't seen each other in a long time.
So right.
Then maybe the next day it starts a little bit later. And
right. But you say, I mean, you instant. Come into with unresolved things that you need to discuss. And the only other person you could discuss it is the people you served with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easier to talk with them. So you hear veterans talk a lot about, like, I don't like to talk to people who didn't serve. It's mm-hmm. easier to talk mm-hmm. to other veterans. So just imagine that tenfold as now I get to speak with the people who were there instead of just people who were in similar situations. I'm talking about the same situation.
You can speak about that day, that week, that hour.
Yep, that moment. So yeah. For our board vice president, Jesse Bergeron, like his experience in his recovery, so to speak, through our reunion was, I mentioned our corpsman died in Iraq. He was in the second vehicle. And Jesse was in the first vehicle. He was the point vehicle. That was where Jesse always was. And for 15 years, 16 years, Jesse lived with a guilt that Doc Kent dying was his fault because he didn't notice the IED. It wasn't until that reunion that everybody was like, hey, Jesse, you're nuts. You're crazy. That's not your fault. No one saw it. And it gave Jesse a sense of closure. It was like, okay, maybe I've just been putting the guilt on myself. And so that's a great impact. Now Jesse doesn't have the guilt of dealing with Aaron's death.
And y'all were the only people that could have told him that.
The only ones. Yeah.
He wouldn't have been around
have tried
y'all
before.
Yeah.
But, you know, because everybody says, oh, it's not your fault. And survivor guilt is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we were the only people that could be like, hey, Jesse, like we were there, man. Nobody saw it.
Yeah, and that hits because, you know, people could be trying to find, you know, healing through going to talk to somebody, family members, but that's all secondhand.
Yeah,
haven't y'all been? Yeah.
So another, wow. If we have time for it, another
absolutely.
Great impact of it is, we had a husband and wife that were coming to stay with us for the reunion, and this was their last shot at saving their marriage. she thought, having no veterans or anything in her family, she thought she was alone being married to this like post 9/11 veteran, didn't know how to deal with it or anything like that. And when they came for the reunion, she met my wife and Jesse's wife and five other wives and realized, wait, I'm not alone in this.
Right.
These wives know the experience, like they experience the same thing I do. So now they're still happily married. They live in Virginia. They're
now she had a support group too.
She has a support group. Yeah. So they have, my wife and them all have this text group where they get to complain about their husbands or whatever it might be, or just, hey, I noticed so-and-so is, I noticed my husband is having an issue. Would you guys please have your husbands call them? And then I get to pick up the phone. I call them. There's no agenda to it. It's just a, hey, what's up? Instead of, hey, I heard you're struggling.
Right.
Let's talk about this. It's just a, hey, what's up? And it opens the door for them to do it naturally, which naturally is the best form of healing. It's not a forced situation. You know, the VA is here, go to see this doctor, do this and go to this appointment and take this pill. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder why it's not so effective is because it's forced. It's better when it's organic and it happens naturally.
So it sounds like with Warrior Legacy Ranch, when this is completed, people will come, be there, but it's not just the healing that happens in their duration at the ranch. When they leave and go home, there's this added effect here, this holdover effect.
It's this added effect. It's healing after that continues. So by bringing them together, we reforge that bond. We reopen that connection, and then that connection continues to where maybe now it's not a group. It's not the entire platoon getting together for a reunion. It might be three or four guys that, you know, hey, I'm visiting. It just happened. I went up to visit a friend. Jesse's daughter turned 21 and went to Nashville.
Right.
And a couple of us were like, oh, hey, we could come to Nashville. So now his 21-year-old daughter is being marched around Broadway in Nashville by six former Marines. And yeah, she had a great 21st birthday with her and her friends because they had this wall of like old Marine vets surrounding her.
Yes, it would be no problem on the street with the Marines there. All right, so as we wrap up here, I think the world of what you're doing and your plan. People see more over at warriorlegacyranch.org. And if they want to reach out to you directly to talk about donations, and can they just call you or go through the website?
Yeah, best? I'm like tempted to do. I'll put my phone number out to the world.
There's good people listening to us.
I always try to answer my phone. So it's area code 937. If you don't know, I'm from Ohio. So area code 937-570-7325.
Okay, and we'll keep that
in Ohio.
Yeah, we could hear where you're from. But no, I've got that info is here as well. So you want to get in touch with Patrick directly, call me or put us a text through the text line. I'll get you his number. Keep on keeping on, man. It's a great, great plan, and I can't wait to see it completed.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
All right, Patrick Jump, Warrior Legacy Ranch, and we're coming right back to wrap it up on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 157 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Paul Feinbaum show on the way in just minutes. Tomorrow on the show, we may get Caroline Dobson on. We're looking at that. Parker Snyder on, Dale Leash, and a whole lot more on tomorrow's show. And a quick reminder as well, too, the FM Talk 106.5 app is up and running for you. People sending in messages from that. We appreciate it. It's free. Somebody said, how much for it? It is free. It's free 99 or whatever the kids call it. Just go to the App Store if you're an iPhone user, or if you're a real cool Android user like me, go to Google Play. You can get the app there as well. Just look for FM TALK. 1065, no point between the 6 and 5, I don't know, because it messes it up, and you can download it right there, and then you can listen to the station on that, but also send us text messages, call us, talk back messages, check out the show schedule, you can look at the social media feeds during the day with breaking news, those are on there as well, plus all our podcast posts there first to the FM Talk 106.5 app. Speaking of social media feed, too, I don't even know, Leanna has so much stuff up on her Facebook page. And she had me looking for alligator. There's so many. She said teapot alligator. Which Leanna, if you listen, I did not see that. I did see the alligators walking the streets in Florida. Alligators just be doing alligator stuff. Saw them today doing alligator stuff. They're just doing stuff. I mean, next thing you know, it's going to be all the reports on sharks on the beach. And like I often say, where else are the sharks supposed to be? So, but check those out at facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. All right, out of here. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks, y'all.